Right. Someone has written, God's work of sanctification in our lives apparently moves downwards through our physical body. The last part of us to experience full sanctification seems to be our right foot. Actually, the way we act behind the wheel of a car is more often indicative of our walk with God than the way we act praying in a pew or smiling over a well-marked Bible. If we occasionally must speed, maybe it would help us to sing the following hymns. Not going to work for me. Here we go. At 75K, God will take care of you. At 90K, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. At 100K, nearer my God to thee. 125K, nearer, still nearer. Not going to go, Seth, if you can flick it for me. Seth? Okay. 140K, this world is not my home. Next one, thanks, Seth. 160K, Lord, I'm coming home. The last one. 165, precious memories. I'm just joking, all right? Today, we look at God's work by His Holy Spirit in our lives and how we live and walk in the Spirit. And to help us, we're going to briefly focus on Galatians 5. But let's just pray first as we think about this. We've been singing some songs about this, haven't we? This is an extremely important part of the Christian life. And we need to understand some basic things. Let me pray. Father, as we do come this morning, as we look at your word again, as we're encouraged by your word, as we're taught by your word, please help us as we do focus upon living and walking in the Spirit and the issues which come. And there are issues, Father. There are times when we will find it hard. So we ask for your leading this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Live in the Spirit. We find in Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Firstly, Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, how can we know that? How can we know if we live in the Spirit? We find in Galatians 3:26, says Paul beforehand, for you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. Because of our faith, because what Jesus Christ done, we are sons and daughters of God. But then he tells us also in 4:26, and because you are sons and daughters of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Our faith, because of that one. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were baptized in the one body, whether Jew or Greek, one there. The Holy Spirit is one of God's most precious gifts to his beloved children, to you and me. He takes up residence within the believer at the moment of salvation. Salvation, it's about, on our journey, we've been walking the world and doing things as the world has done. All of a sudden, because of perhaps God or a variety of things, we turn from that way to this way and turn towards God. He's worked in our life. And we suddenly see who Jesus is. We understand who God is. And God sees us. We've got to understand God sees us as sinful people. But he says, I've given you Jesus Christ. He has died and paid the penalty for your sin. And our response is, thank you. Please forgive me for what I've done. I accept that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. At that point, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life and is part of your life at that moment and empowers us to overcome sin and live for God's glory and purpose. And then we are new in Christ. We sang some songs earlier. Let not yet I, but through Christ in me. And we begin a journey of, old word, sanctification or transformation. And one of the ways this happens is, as Paul writes in Galatians 5:25, by the fruit of the Spirit. 20:23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We need to note Scripture uses the singular, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. As such, we could assume it means that all these elements make up one fruit. Hence, all possible attributes and spontaneous outcome of having the Holy Spirit dwell in us, the fruit of the Spirit. The metaphor of fruit is a very old one, and natural for agricultural people like Israel. While the Greek word used here for fruit can mean any kind of fruit, it is more frequently employed of the product of the fruit of the tree or fruit of a vine. It was the principle used by the Lord Jesus himself that a tree could be recognized by the fruit that it bore, which you'll find in Matthew 7:16. Hence, seeing apples on a tree, a person can rightly assume it's an apple tree. Seeing lemons, hence rightly assuming that it's a lemon tree. So by the presence of fruit, the fruit listed, it can rightly be assumed that the presence of the Spirit is in the heart of the believer and the Christian. And vice versa. If no evidence of this fruit, it could be assumed that the Spirit does not abide in the person. And that is a good question we need to ask ourselves. Or perhaps as other people see us, is the fruit actually in you? Those elements of the fruit, love, joy, peace, is a part of who you are now as a believer. But there's still a challenge. We might have God's Spirit living within us, but there is still a battle. A battle between Spirit and flesh. A battle as we walk in the Spirit. This should go over. Galatians 5:17a says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another." Let me just look at those terms, Spirit and flesh. Spirit here, by Spirit, I think it's fairly obvious, Paul is talking about God's Spirit, which earlier Paul said has been sent forth into your hearts, in Galatians 4:6. The Spirit which was received by hearing of faith and not by works of law. Flesh, as he talks about flesh, not quite so easy. Paul uses the same Greek word a number of times. He uses it to describe the tissue that constitutes just our body, the flesh. He talks about that once. He used it of people. Paul speaks of his relatives and fellow Jews in Romans 9:3, according to the flesh. But here and elsewhere in Romans, Paul uses the flesh with regard to the state of humanity as flesh in contrast to the Spirit. Flesh are ones without the Spirit, a term often used, unregenerate, not changed. There are two types of people in the world, believers and unbelievers, ones with the Spirit and ones without the Spirit. As far as God looks at it, there is two types of people. Some influenced by Satan, and those by the Spirit, by God. And Paul reminds us in Titus 3:5, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit in us. There's been a change which has happened. When you did and move that. You've been changed. You've been renewed. You've been washed again. You are God's, and the Holy Spirit is within you. You're new. You've been renewed. But there's still a struggle. Hopefully this is going to flick for me. Thank you. Struggle between flesh. Galatians, the second part, he says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's a struggle. Even when you have the Holy Spirit. See, Paul indicates that the person who is regenerated, has the Holy Spirit, is not necessarily unaffected by the flesh. So you do not do the things you wish. Paul's picture is as a struggle between flesh and spirit. The flesh, the corrupt and carnal parts of our lusts, strives and struggles with strength and vigor against the spirit and opposes all the motions of the spirit and resists things of the spirit. On the other hand, the spirit strives against the flesh and opposes the will and desires. Matthew Henry, great theologian, died in 1714, wrote a great seven-volume commentary. I've still got it on my desk there. Writes this: as the principle of grace in us will not suffer us to do all the evil which our corrupt nature would prompt us to do, so neither can we do all the good that we would by reason of the oppositions we meet with from the corrupt and carnal principle. There's a battle going on. There's a challenge going on. You can be a believer. You may have been a Christian. I've been a Christian. I was back about 1968, 13 years old. Has it been easy? No, it hasn't been. And this is the reason why. Paul told us it's going to be a struggle between flesh and the spirit. It will continue. And he tells us something about the works of the flesh as well. Whoop, went too many. Let me go back one. We read out before, some of the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the question of those who are believers, regenerate, being given the Holy Spirit, looking at this list, maybe thinking, hang on, I can see some things there that I have done or perhaps I'm actually struggling with now. Maybe anger. Maybe it's drunkenness. Maybe it's sexual lust. Because he tells us it still continues to be a struggle. But we need to remind ourselves. We've died to the flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul goes back and says to them, as such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. How does Paul deal with the issue of things of the flesh? For Paul, we are either in the flesh or we are in the spirit. It's a positional thing. You were and now you are. The problem that many of us have is we don't understand that or we don't believe that. We don't recognize this is where we were, but now this is, even through my struggle, yes, I know, but I am yours. I have moved position. And you've got to get that in your head. Absolutely. You are in the Spirit. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've gone back to God, you are in the Spirit. But there'll still be a struggle. It's a positional change. It's happened to you. You need to understand that. That's where part of the challenge comes in your life especially. Paul views the death of the flesh as something that has already happened. How? In the death of Christ. Remember when we've had some baptism services recently. Margaret was there, Norman was there. The symbolism in there, as you go into the water, is that you, as you go down in, and you're in, you have died in Christ. When you stand up, you are new, and you, that's the symbolism. That's what's going on. We need to understand that. The baptism is a symbolism of what's happened beforehand, but it's a great symbolism of what's happened in our life. I said I was a rabbit, and it will change for each of us. As I said to you, I can remember sitting in Moorabark Baptist Church in the old part of the church, not the old one, but the middle one. And I was sitting, I was a youth, much younger than now, lot more hair, flares, high-heeled shoes. I'm not going to show you a picture, it's not going to happen. Lynn will not show you a picture. I was sitting there in an evening service. There was a visiting speaker and he was preaching the gospel. I didn't hardly even hear him, but I'm sitting in the back row. You know how some of you may have experienced this. The Holy Spirit pushed me out of my seat. He gave a call at the end. Who of you believe that Jesus Christ, who of you believes that you are a sinner? I didn't want to stand up. I was a very shy person back then. I was. Lynn, stop laughing. I was only 12 then. Much different. The Holy Spirit pushed me out of that seat to go to the front. That's how it can work in some people's lives. For me, it was like that. Others, it can be a long journey. For me, it was like, it's positional. I went up there and committed. The Holy Spirit came into my life at that very moment then. Did I struggle afterwards? Surely did. But I had to keep on reminding myself, I am now. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me, even though I struggled. That's how it happened to me. Because what he wants to tell us is that our body, our flesh, is now in Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. In Romans 6:6, and ourselves was crucified with him. Positional, you have. Stay there. You'll keep trying to put your foot back. You've got to try to stay there. And Paul adds in Galatians 5:13, if I got it. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And you do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Corinthians 10:13. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful for me, but I will not be brought under their power. What it's saying is, as a new Christian, positionally here I am, I'm not under law anymore. I'm under grace. I'm under Christ. But don't use that as a liberty to do whatever you want to do, because you can. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be guided by the Holy Spirit. You can get off the track, but be brought under the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Paul constantly reminds us of the need to put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. But we continue in that struggle within our salvation, within the world. Paul appears to indicate that as we turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. He talks about three types of people: the natural person, the carnal person, and the spiritual person. This passage, the natural person is the unregenerated person, the one who is in the flesh, Romans 8:9. The whole realm of that person's life is devoted to the human level, and as such, he or she is unable to know the things of God. How many of you found, and perhaps not if you've come to faith pretty not long ago, but I can still remember now. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mum read us the Bible every single before I went to bed, and we prayed. But can I tell you, until I actually committed my life to the Lord, that didn't make too much sense. It was some great stuff, and it was great. I thank you for my mum and dad. But when the Holy Spirit came inside of me, all of a sudden I went, now I got it. Now, as I read it, now I understand it. Beforehand, it was just some nice words, and I didn't say I didn't know God, but with the Holy Spirit, now I understood. Now I can read it and go, got it, because the Holy Spirit is there to help me through those periods of time. The carnal person is really all, there's another person who's, and talks about, you are babes in Christ. Can I tell you, some babes in Christ who may have committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ 50 years ago, but they can still be babes in Christ. It means you haven't grown. You haven't let the Holy Spirit to move you. And that's the person there who really struggles. Then he talks about the spiritual person, the person who is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide their life and all that they do. The things of the flesh will still have a huge influence and pull on our lives. Question is, are they Christians? Yes. When we do things of the flesh, have we lost salvation? No. But we need to seek forgiveness, held accountable for actions within our salvation. We often sing, there's a song, and Keith read out from Romans 8:1 before. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the question is, I suppose, we need to be asking, we know all this. Perhaps you didn't understand it. How can I get victory, though, over this? Because you will struggle as a believer. If you're not struggling as a believer, you're either lying or you perhaps haven't got the Spirit. But how do you get victory? The impact of the world, things of the flesh continue to impact us. They don't just go away because we're believers. So Paul suggests two things that need to be done. Hopefully. Seth, can you flick that over for me? First he says, flick the page across. We need to understand our new position because of God's grace and faith. Believers need to recognize that the flesh has been crucified with Christ, and therefore consider yourself dead to sin's power and alive to God in Christ. That is the most important thing. I have people often speak to me, no matter what age, and I've had many senior people speak to me to say, because they've done something wrong, oh no, have I lost my salvation? Oh, I'm going, no, you haven't. You will struggle with this. You've got to get that in your head. You will struggle, but you have changed from where you were to where you are. You are now in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You've got to get that in your head and accept that and know that. The second one is, I say in the Spirit you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit means to live each moment under control of the Holy Spirit. Walking involves living every step at a time, moment by moment, and walking each step of our earthly walk under direction and control and leadership of the Holy Spirit. While a struggle remains for the Christian believers between spirit and flesh, Paul knows the way of victory, walking and being guided daily by the Spirit. I wrote in the news sheet this week, as you intentionally seek to maintain an awareness of the Spirit's presence throughout the day, he is only a thought away. When your mind turns to him, he gives sensitivity to the things of God, understanding about the situation and people in your life. You need to, throughout the day, just be able to focus upon what God's Spirit and how he can help you. You're going to continually doing that and asking for that. How can flesh be rendered powerless? Thanks, Seth. You can flick over that one for me. Consider the effect of gravity on a book. Gravity would cause an unsupported book to fall. But gravity can be rendered powerless against a book by simply placing a table under it. As long as the table is under the book, gravity cannot cause it to fall. Of course, gravity has not really lost its power, nor is it no longer present. It's just the table is stronger than the gravity's effect on the book. For a Christian, the Holy Spirit is like that table. And our sinful nature is like gravity's pull. As long as we allow the Holy Spirit to hold us up, which places our dependence on His power to give us victory over the flesh, our fleshy impulses have no power to pull us down. Thanks, Seth, to flick that for me. As we come to an end, I just want to finish it up. You must expect a struggle between flesh and the spirit as long as we live in this world. The flesh will be lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But if in everyday mode and during our lives we are led by the spirit and we make the word of God our rule and grace of God our principle, you will not be under the condemnation of law, but under commanding power and grace. We are freed by grace. Paul reminds us, Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, you have been called to liberty, and you do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." How are you going in your walk? How's the fruit growing in your life? Good question, isn't it? As you think about this, are you struggling? When you struggle, it's part of the journey. Don't expect that it won't be. You can't just go to you can't just go to a confessional once a week and go, "Oh, sorry about that one, sorry about that one, sorry about that one," and leave and go, "Oh, that's over and done with, I'll go and do it next week." It doesn't work that way. There is a struggle, but the Holy Spirit said, you've got to keep on listening and being guided by the Holy Spirit in your life. F.F. Bruce, a theologian and a scholar, actually died in 1990. He was a teacher, a writer as well, writes this: "The Spirit is a sanctifying agency in the lives of believers. Spirit and flesh are in undying opposition and wage perpetual warfare, the one with the other. But the Spirit is divinely powerful and can put the flesh progressively," see that word, progressively, "out of action in those lives which are yielded to His control and enabling grace." That's one of the best things that I think. Thanks to Keith that you gave me this. And I think it just explains it all. Until we get home with the Lord, the flesh and the spirit will struggle. But you are in Christ. You positionally have changed. But you've got to spend every day and really saying to God, "Please help me today. I'm struggling with this. Please help, I'm struggling with this." Continue. It's progressively, you'll progressively be, the old word of sanctification is you're slowly being made into the person of Christ. But you won't get there until you get to heaven. If anyone ever says to you, "Oh, I've got this, I'm no problems at all, I'm sanctified," I'm going, "No, you're not." You may be on the journey of sanctification, but until you reach home in heaven, then you will be perfect. You will struggle. But turn to God. But know the Holy Spirit is more powerful than the flesh, more powerful than Satan can ever be. We're going to sing a song in a moment. And it's called Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. And it goes like this: Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Let the presence of the risen Lord come renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. Give me faith for which I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Our journey is to get in tune with the Holy Spirit who is in your life. Let me pray. I'm going to invite the musos to come forward, the singers, ready to sing this song for us. And can I encourage us to sing it almost as a prayer? But I'm going to let me just pray as the guys come forward now. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is true. And I've got to tell you, Lord, that sometimes there's some hard things in your word, but some things we've got to learn. Please help us. You remind us again this morning that because of what Jesus Christ has done, because of our faith and belief, and because of your Holy Spirit, we are now your children, sons and daughters. Thanks for that. Father, please keep on reminding us of that. Let it not escape from our thoughts. But Father, please help us. We know the Holy Spirit's in us, but sometimes, Lord, we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be guided. We want to do things off the side here and there. But Father, please bring us back. Please help us to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying in our lives. Father, this is a struggle. It's a journey. Progressively, we're becoming like Christ, but we aren't going to get there. Some of us will struggle more than others. But Father, we almost sort of want to pray for a fresh renewing of the Holy Spirit, an understanding again of the Spirit in our lives. So Father, as we sing this song, perhaps you're even speaking to us afresh this morning. We ask for your leading and guiding in Jesus' name. Amen.